minds and souls. The Religious Liberty Report, hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture. So we may better understand and articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold and uncompromising, and always committed to God's Word as our guide. The Religious Liberty Report. We are in a culture of confusion. No points of reference. Objective facts, divine truth, are routinely subordinated to emotion, public opinion, and personal beliefs. The Religious Liberty Report, on the air, working to keep America open to God's truth in this culture of confusion. This radio broadcast is intended to help equip churches and believers on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. Brothers and sisters, the separation of church and state is not meant to create a wall that removes people of faith or religious organizations from participation in public life. The Religious Liberty Report is here to help you understand and to grapple with the issues of our times. He did not participate in civil rights. He did not crusade to abolish injustice. He preached a saving gospel, so that once a man's soul or a woman's soul is right with God, it matters little what the externals may be. He was not interested in a new social order, but in a new spiritual order for the church. And he mandated the church to carry on this ministry, to carry on the gospel to the ends of the earth. Not so much concerned about the external life of people, but the internal soul of the lost. Turning to page one of the report, in this third week of April 2025, scientists tell us that we don't have very long, and it's later than you think. The older we get, the faster it seems that time passes, and this is not a good thing. Because we know the destination of this runaway train. Rushing faster, faster, and faster to the edge of what seems to be an abyss. If only we could slow it down. A study in Munich in 2005 found that people over the age of 40 perceived the horrific acceleration of time, while those under the age of 40 do not. When asked to reflect on their lives, participants older than the age 40 felt that time had passed slowly in their childhood, but then accelerated steadily through their teenage years and into early adulthood. Phenomenon, a paradox of time. Our perception of time in the past seems to be dependent on the number of experiences that were encoded in our brain. You see, if it's a routine or regular experience, it doesn't get encoded in the brain as a memory in quite the same way. Only new things, the novel, get recorded. The more new experiences, the longer it seems to have lasted. Time seems to have passed more slowly. In our youth, everything is new. Everything gets encoded into the long-term memory. But flash forward 40 years, and day in, day out, what one philosopher termed as quiet desperation, the mass of men leading lives of quiet desperation. Nothing new under the sun for you. And thus, no long-term memories, no encoding in the brain. Looking back from 40 to 50 may seem about a short time, from 50 to 60 even shorter, and beyond that, shorter yet. It seems that looking back at our lives are lasting all of a snap of your fingers. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking, sharing about scientists telling us we don't have very long, and it's later than you might think. The older we get, the faster it seems that time passes. If only we could slow it down, because without faith, we know that the destination of this runaway train is over the edge of the abyss. Turning to page 2 of the report, in this third week of April 2025, a lot going on in the news cycle. President Trump announcing the most sweeping tariff package in history, sending shockwaves through global markets. President Trump trying to overhaul the entire global trade regime. It might work. It might not. In the meantime, buckle up for some wild volatility between now and when we find out. According to President Trump, it'll be worth it in the long run. He believes his tariff regime will level the playing field between the United States and its trading partners and reshore U.S. manufacturing operations. Sounds good, right? But in theory, yes, but in practice, how will the United States compete with low-cost labor from countries like Vietnam or China? We really don't have the answer, and neither does the market. And that's a big reason why stock prices have been all over the place. Will this create a punishing recession? No one knows. Will this bring America's trading partners to the negotiation table, resulting in lower tariffs? Well, no one knows. We are in the midst of uncertainty. But here's what we do know. If this ends up failing, there's only one hand to play, and that will be money printing more money. The Fed will lower rates, buy trillions of dollars of US bonds, and generally flood the world with liquidity. We've seen this before. If tariffs work, great, the market stabilizes, then the party goes on. But if tariffs don't work, and we go into a recession, the Federal Reserve will act, and it will act decisively. If things don't go according to plan, with this trade war, the Federal Reserve will cover up any mess the same way it always does, plan by printing money. This is not the end of the volatility, brothers and sisters. It's just the beginning. There could be many unforeseen consequences of these new tariff policies. This could be a golden opportunity to give China a chance to assert global leadership. April 2nd, 2025 may be the date that future historians mark as the day America ended its dominance on the world stage. It could be the beginning of an escalation from trade wars to capital controls to loss of travel privileges, cyber attacks, more. The rest of Trump's tariffs will go in effect shortly. The next 12 months could be a rough ride. This trade war is obviously far from over, which probably means that financial markets are in for a lot more volatility. The bond market isn't usually the focus as much as the stock market, but what's happening in the bond market right now is actually a much bigger deal, some say. Remember, U.S. government bonds have been considered a safe haven asset for decades. And that was the case last week when investors dumped stocks and then moved into bonds. They parked all their cash in the bond market. But the bond market also blew up this past week. A sudden rise in treasury yields in what was supposed to be a very safe asset. And this, many analysts say, is a bigger deal. For consumers, it's almost certain to mean higher interest rates. Higher interest rates on consumer loans, including 30-year mortgages, and higher yields on U.S. government bonds means it will be more expensive to borrow. And that will be especially true for the U.S. government, the federal government, because remember, the Treasury Department has to refinance more than $8 trillion worth of U.S. government bonds between now and the end of the year. Plus, on top of that $8 trillion, there'll probably be another $2 trillion in new debt. Higher interest rates. An absolute killer that will cost the government hundreds of billions of dollars more per year just to pay the interest on the national debt. The bond market fell apart, so did the Trump administration's hopes that its policies would drive down longer-term interest rates. Remember, lower interest rates make it easier for businesses and consumers to borrow, and especially important, it lessens the burden of financing Uncle Sam's colossal debt load. So this past week, we saw foreign holders of U.S. Treasuries exercising a vote of no confidence in the U.S. government. Foreign U.S. Treasuries bondholders dumping their treasuries because they see the tariffs as a last straw of sorts, piled on top of an enormous haystack that's been accumulating for years. A haystack where the national debt is $36.2 trillion. That's 120% the size of America's annual economic output. Some say we're far beyond the point of no return. When the scale of the debt chokes off any prospect of meaningful economic growth in the future. Weak economic growth will translate into weak tax revenues, making the debt load worse and worse. As stocks and bonds are both in a sell-off, many are turning to safe havens like gold, which soared over $100 in a day. It seems that U.S. Treasuries just aren't the safe haven they used to be. something fishy, something very fishy is going on in the U.S. bond market. And maybe not just fishy, potentially destructive for the federal government and the U.S. economy. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, reporting on how over the last several days, U.S. government bonds have hit a crash, yields surging at a rate not seen since at least 2008, and in some cases not since the early 1980s, and this is a very, very big deal. Higher bond yields mean higher interest rates, on consumer loans like mortgages that are now becoming or will become more expensive, and also, very importantly, a dramatic increase in the government's borrowing costs. Bear in mind, the U.S. government is already spending $1.1 trillion per year just to pay interest on its $36.2 trillion national debt. That translates into 22% of all U.S. tax revenue, 22 cents of every tax dollar going to pay the interest on the national debt. Add to that another 47 cents of every tax dollar going to Social Security and Medicare. And that's before you calculate other mandatory entitlements like Medicaid, food stamps, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, the annual interest payment on the U.S. national debt is rising quickly. Higher interest rates, a very big deal. Higher bond yields, very big deal. All this because U.S. Treasuries were a cornerstone of financial stability, and they seem to be losing their safe haven status as rising yields and global uncertainty take center stage. Many arguments in favor, many against the current tariff wars, the trade wars. Here's Stephen Many defending the president's policy. I thought it was an interesting clip. Take a listen.
The United States is 36% of global consumption, and we're more than 25% of the world's economy. Just the United States alone. That means we get to set the rules and terms for international trade. But we've done the opposite as a country for decades now. When we hear the term globalization, what does that really mean? It means taking America's wealth and shipping it to foreign countries. So all the factories that used to be in America are now in China, Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, Canada, Mexico, parts of Africa, India, Europe, Japan, Korea. You know where they're not? The United States of America. Because our leaders allowed foreign countries to rig the rules of the game, to cheat, to steal, to rob, to plunder. That has cost America trillions of dollars in wealth. These countries cannot win a trade fight with us because they're already the ones who have cheated. So in other words, they've stolen our industries. We have all the upside here in this fight because we can now make these industries come back because we have the market. We have the consumers they need. Japan cannot replace the American automobile market. Europe can't replace the American automobile market. They need us. And this is a fundamental issue of fairness and national security. Tell me, why is it that if you go to Tokyo, there's no American cars? If you go to Berlin, there's no American cars. But on our streets, we have every foreign car there is in the world. They've locked their markets to our cars. They have stolen from our workers and our people. And President Trump is saying that has to end. We need our wealth back and our jobs back. And the quality of America, the American quality of life, will rise exponentially as these policies kick in and as the great onshoring and return of American wealth.
Stephen Miller, advisor to the president on tariffs, trade. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report this third week of April 2025. Thank you for tuning in. Talking about trade wars and you. Trade long time involve many factors. Trade wars can easily morph into currency wars, retaliatory tariffs. Cheapening local currencies offsets the cost of higher tariffs and keeps the price of exported goods unchanged in terms of the currency of the importing nation. There's no doubt that heavy tariffs have spooked the markets. What we're seeing is possibly the bursting of a bubble, and possibly a likely recession. Tariffs will probably be a catalyst for the bubble bursting. We will have a tough time in the days, weeks, and months to come. Put on crash helmets. All this to say, have a plan. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, we read verses 26 to 34. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 30. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report, talking about faith in God, building on the rock and not sand. In Matthew chapter 24, we read about a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. It was built on the rock. But everyone who hears the sayings of Jesus and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Matthew chapter 7. And now a message from South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or simply enrich your spiritual life, their new programs are designed just for you. Introducing their Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, a Doctorate in Ministry. At South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, they offer undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. These degree programs are available online or on campus. Explore their diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, and counseling, from associate to doctoral levels, all available both online and on campus. As one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, South Florida Bible College provides quality education at an affordable price. With scholarship opportunities just a click away, let nothing stop you from pursuing your dreams at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Fully accredited and ready to serve you. Visit them online at sfbc.edu. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7 we read, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Jesus never promised His followers an easy path. In fact, He told His disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of His apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report this week, the third week of April 2025. In Jude verse 3 we read, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude verse 3. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the report this week, the honor of bringing you this religious liberty news. Thank you for joining me on the report. We're here every week on this live and local Christian radio station, and if you miss us on the radio, just search for us on your favorite podcatcher. Search for the Religious Liberty Report, where we hope to help equip you to understand, articulate your Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and always committed to God's Word as your guide. Working to keep America open to God's truth. The Religious Liberty Report, because without freedom of conscience, we can have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano signing off. Working to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.
Like it doesn't matter. I don't wanna lose the wonder of your presence. I don't wanna come in tight. Just wanna run it like a child, caught up in the joy and wonder of your presence. I'm coming back to my first love. I can feel the world.